Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 8. And what I wanted to share on today, I've entitled, Let God Be Glorified. And to start off with that, I want to share just a recent teaching a little while ago on healing that I did a few weeks back. Covered, and this is a good excuse to just review the 5 points that I covered for myself, for anybody else who wants to know and remember. The first point that we had looked at was that sickness and sin were dealt with at the same time with the work of Jesus Christ. They went together. One didn't leave and the other one stayed. It wasn't supposed to stay. Sickness and sin were dealt with at the same time. We should remember that. The second thing was that our confidence and faith is in Scripture and Scripture alone, not in our desire to be healed or delivered or how, you know, or anything else, but the very truth that Scripture says this is the number one thing we need to know. If Scripture says it, that's the end of it. And beyond that, you know, we do our best to believe what it says. And we can get excited about getting delivered, sure, that's okay, but it's the Scripture says it. We need nothing more than that. And third was where how we have the Spirit. So from the inside, the Spirit quickens our mortal bodies. We need to expect that to happen regularly. And fourth point was that, you know, these aren't the only 5 points from healing, obviously. These are just 5 I covered, okay? So the fourth one was that we understand that it's God's desire for us to be delivered. He's compassionate. He's merciful. His desire was made known by the walk of Jesus Christ. It's his desire. And the fifth point, which I wanted to deal with today, was that when we see the blessings, it is God that gets glorified. Not, oh, I got healed, or I healed so and so, I did this. No, it's God that gets the glory. Deuteronomy chapter 8, when Moses was talking to the children of Israel about entering the promised land. We read this a little while ago, and we'll read it again. But Deuteronomy 8:10. We read this, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. So all these great blessings get poured out upon them. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And then after all these blessings pour upon them, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. You know, oh yeah, I got a really good job. I was so smart and I made so much money and all this, and aren't I so wonderful, or you know, whatever. And here is number 8, verse 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Everything comes from him. It doesn't matter, it all comes from him, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. You know, there's a tendency in life for people to receive blessings and then forget the source of those blessings. It's a common thing, and then, you know, you get all excited. Oh yeah, this is great. Then you know, you forget where the blessings flow from. Well, let God be glorified. In Romans chapter 1. A lot of the things that God did in his word, he did, we just read one of them there, where it was so that people would remember him and not forget what he had done. If you remember in Exodus, he instituted the Passover. And he told them, and you know, when some days your children come to you and say, "Well, Daddy or Mommy, why are we doing what we do here?" And says, "Well, God delivered us. God brought us out of Egypt. He did all these things for us, so they wouldn't. He did that so they wouldn't forget. It was something they did annually. It was an annual festival, celebration of God's deliverance. A night much to be remembered, right? It says, night much to be remembered. Well, that means you ought to remember it, right? Or the altar, some of the altars they set up, right? And between tribes and so forth. Why? To remember God, that they wouldn't forget. How about the rainbow? I know it's God's, that was for God's remembrance, that he would not forget, as if God would forget, right? That he would remember his covenant with all animals and people on the earth. Well, interestingly enough, it also reminds us. I'm sure God didn't think about that, right? You know, so all the things, circumcision, you know, every time men went to pee, there you go, you remember God. See, the thing is to remember him, don't forget who it is that from whom all blessings flow. It's God, right? He ought to be glorified. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." What I wanted to say, I forgot to say it, is that on looking at God being glorified, there are related terms to that glorification of God. And these aren't related by some, you know, Greek word or anything like that. They're related by just context and understanding. And some of those are worship, humility before God, thankfulness to God, honoring God. They're all praise. They're all related in the sense that, you know, when you tell somebody, you know, I love you, you bring them glory. When you say, "I thank you," you bring them glory. When you honor them, you bring them glory. When you are thankful for everything that proceeds from them and all these things, when you're humble before them, it all brings them glory. These are related words and they show up. So we're not looking at some word study or anything like that. It's more, you know, the idea that your heart, your life, our lives are to glorify him, not us. Thankfully, that wouldn't last very long, would it? Romans chapter 1, verse 18. So here's a case where these people didn't do those things. Verse 18 again. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God," it's not excusable, okay? "That which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them." It's very, very clear. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." You just got to look around. "Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." There's no excuse for not understanding God. Verse 21, "Because that when they knew God," okay, look, it wasn't that they didn't know him. They knew God, they glorified him not as God. They didn't recognize that he's the one who made everything. He's the one who blesses all. They didn't want to do that. They knew him, but they glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful. There's that kind of related concept, right? They weren't thankful to him for what he had done, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise in their own eyes, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, who was supposed to be glorified, unto an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And, you know, taking what God was down to the level of man and making him into an idol, a symbol, you know, a bird or whatever else, or, you know, amulets or beads or whatever, you name it. There's a ton of stuff that people do. Bring him down from his glory to absolute foolishness. That's what people did. They were not thankful. They didn't want to glorify him. In Luke chapter 17, the Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." You just got to look around. The heavens declare it. It's all around us. And God said, there's no excuse. They knew I was me, but they did not want to be thankful. They didn't want to glorify him. There's a good portion of the world that is in that camp right now. Luke chapter 17, verse 12. And he entered into a village, certain village, where met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Look at this, 10 lepers cleansed of leprosy. Leprosy is a horrible disease. Cleansed of leprosy. They couldn't even hang out with the rest of the people. And here they were, totally cleansed. And one of the 10, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. See, they all got the blessings. They all got the benefits. One came back and glorified God and was thankful to him. And fell down on his face, verse 16, at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. See, they all got the blessings, but only one of them came back. And as a result, it says he was made whole. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. He was made whole. But you see, it's common. It's a common thing. Oh, I got the blessing. Okay, cool. You know, have you ever prayed for something and gotten the result? And forgotten to thank God about it? Because once I got the result, don't need him anymore. You know? That's kind of what God was saying in Deuteronomy. And once you're there and you see all those things and all those blessings, don't forget. Like, it's natural sometimes where, oh, you get so excited. You go, oh my goodness. That's why it's a blessing in fellowship when sometimes, you know, it's nice for us to remind each other. As Vijay was saying, you know, they have a list of, you know, one side this and the other side the answers to prayer. We thank you, God, for that. And we thank and then we come and get together and we share the blessings. This is great that you got this. This is great that God did this for you. We honor him, not ourselves, but we glorify him from where it all comes. All the blessings. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 7, please. Cannot forget the source. 2 Samuel chapter 7. When David was just being very blessed because of all the things that had happened to him and how God had blessed him, this is what he said in 2 Samuel. And he was the greatest king, one of the greatest kings that ever lived. Remember, they used to sing about him that, you know, Saul killed the thousands and David had killed the tens of thousands. And he was out there delivering God's people, you know, mighty king. In 2 Samuel 7, and you can read some of this stuff in a lot of the Psalms as well. There's so many of them. But verse 18, then went King David in and sat before the Lord. And he said, who am I, O Lord God? He goes, who am I? You know, people, someone, you know, secular, because, oh, you're the great King David. You know, you rule over all this. You've ruled it for 30, 40 years, and you're wonderful, and you're powerful. And yet he said, who am I, Lord? Who am I? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God. But thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? Is this how you always deal with people, God? And what can David say more unto thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake, and according to thine own heart, hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. I did so many great things. No, he said, you have done these great things. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God. For there is none like thee. Neither is there any God beside thee. That's an interesting statement. According to all that we have heard with our ears, and what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible, for thy land before thy people, which thou redeemest to thy to thee from Egypt, from the nations and their gods. For thou hast confirmed thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever. And thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said, and let thy name be magnified forever. What was his heart in all of this? That God be magnified, that God get the glory. You can see and hear his heart is very, very thankful for all that has happened for him and his people. But yet his desire, that God be magnified, not him. The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established forever before thee. You know, glorifying God is related to humility. God says, he that honors me will I honor. When, remember in the book of Acts, when they healed those guys, it said, that man, it said, not by our own power or holiness have we made this man to walk. See, the humility before God glorifies him. In Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2. Verse 8. And there was, and this is the one Jesus was born, obviously, as you know. And there were in the same shepherd country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. Okay, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. We're talking about the birth of Jesus Christ here. At the birth of Jesus Christ, they said, they were praising God. And they said, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Who did the birth of Christ, who did the glory go to for the birth of Jesus Christ? God. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. He's the one who had Jesus Christ born. He's the one who did that. So praise and glory to God because of the birth of Jesus Christ. John chapter 7. Remember Jesus Christ when he was walking around? He said, why are you calling me good? There's none good but one, that is God. John chapter 7, please. Verse 15. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Talking about Jesus Christ. And Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine. Okay, I didn't make this up, but his that sent me. What I'm telling you, he said, is not my doctrine, it's God's doctrine. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. If I was telling you what I wanted as my doctrine, I would be looking for my own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Jesus Christ was looking for God's glory, not his own glory. Not my doctrine. I didn't make this up. What I'm telling you is what God told me, and I want him to be glorified, not me. In John chapter 14, please. So did Jesus Christ glorify God? Wow. Don't even have to ask the question. John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he had said previously that the doctrine that I'm giving you is not my doctrine, but his that sent me. So whose doctrine was this here? God's. So whose idea, desire, doctrine was it that the approach to God in this time period is by way of Jesus Christ? God's idea. That wasn't Jesus Christ's idea. That wasn't his doctrine. That was what God wanted. Jesus Christ was honoring his Father's request. Verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And now, and from him, whence, from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that seen me had seen the Father. Why? Because I am the Father. That's not what he said. What is he saying here? He's saying here, I do the things that God wants me to do. What I'm teaching you is not my doctrine. It's his that sent me. So everything I say is because he told me to say it. Therefore, when you see me, you see him. Because I am not looking for my glory. I'm looking for his. And I'm saying what he wants me to say. So as because of that, when you see me, you've seen him. Because none of this is mine. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? What does it mean, I am in the Father? I always do what he wants me to do. And the Father is in me, that's by the Spirit. He's thinking almost, same. Philip, don't you see, don't you understand? I've been telling you about the Father all this time, so how can you say you don't know the Father? The words that I speak unto you, I speak, and here it is again, not of myself. But the Father that doeth in me, dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. You see that? The whole section is telling him that you've seen him, because I do everything he asks me to do. I glorify him, and I'm telling you now that if you want to get to him, you got to go by way of me, because that's what he wants. In Matthew chapter 6, did Jesus Christ glorify God? Wow. Remember this prayer he taught? Everybody in the world knows this prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Sorry about that. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Now, when he taught them this prayer, and we know this prayer is repeated around the world, and people know it, but look what he says in this prayer. Let's see if Jesus Christ honors and glorifies God. Verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He tells them, you know, as an example of prayer, how do you start? Hallowed be thy name. May your name be honored. Thy kingdom come, thy kingdom, thy will be done. Prayer, looking to have God's will be done. Remember when Jesus was about to die, he said, not my will, but thine be done. I don't want to do this, but thine will be done. Did he honor God? Did he glorify him? My goodness. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He started by saying, hallowed be thy name. And it closes by saying, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. See, everything he did in his life, He honored and glorified God. That was what he was doing. I came here to do, give you, glorify you, not me. Even in teaching them a prayer, you know, our prayers, they ought to glorify God. Honor and glorify him. All blessings flow from him. In John chapter 17. John 17. Verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Even right to the end. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Who gave them to him? God. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And talk about so many co-equal stuff. He said that they might know thee, the only true God. You're the only true God. Jesus Christ didn't say, I'm the true God as well. You're the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou, the only true God, has sent. Verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. That was his job. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. See, he glorified him from day one right to the end. That was his job. That's what he did. He did everything to glorify his Father. Philippians chapter 2. A few more verses here. Philippians chapter 2. It's very interesting that that's what he said. And now it says here in Philippians what people are supposed to do. Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Being in a form given to him by God, he didn't think that equality with God was something that he would even seek after. It was the devil who tried to seek for that. Jesus Christ never sought for that. But made himself of no reputation, verse 7, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. See, he humbled himself, and God is the one who exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Who gave him the name above every name? God gave him that name. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It brings God glory when we confess Jesus as Lord. It does not bring him glory when we confess Jesus as God. It says it very clearly there. Confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You want to glorify God, you make Jesus Lord. You don't want to glorify God, you make him God. Jesus Christ never made himself God, nor should anybody else. He is the Son of God. It's God's choice that this time period that we approach him by way of Jesus Christ. That's God's doing. Want to glorify God, that's what we honor. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Verse 17. Talking about Abraham. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, and neither the deadness. You know, he was old. His wife had gone past bearing. She couldn't bear anymore. It's something that he could see. He could understand it. It was around him. But yet, verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He glorified God. You know, it's a tendency in life, and I kind of go both ways with this one here. You know, he hadn't received it yet, but he continued to glorify God. So, should I only glorify God or when times are good? You know, when do you glorify God? You glorify him all the time. When times are bad, you glorify God. When times are good, you glorify him. I mean, it's maybe easy to glorify him when things are good. Maybe it's not so easy when things are bad. But here's Abraham here. You know, God had given him a promise. And in waiting for the answer to that promise, he continued to glorify God. That's our lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's not some gimmick or thing we do. It's a lifestyle. You know, by our words, the words we speak, by our actions. Like, you know, glorifying God is not sitting there in some corner of a room saying, oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. You may do some of that. That's great. Speaking in tongues, praises God, honors him. But how about the rest of our lives? We're always talking about all these great practical sections in the book of, you know, Ephesians and Romans and Corinthians and Galatians. The sections of them are practical for our practical application. How do you glorify God? You know, I often think when you go into a conversation or you meet somebody in life, wouldn't it be nice that when you leave, they were just blessed by the presence of God, not by your presence? How do you do that? You know, how do you do that? Your words, your actions, how about your thoughts? What are your regular thoughts? What do you think about every day? What do you think about more than anything else? A good indication of where your heart's at. What am I thinking about all the time? Do I glorify God in my thoughts? How about and when I'm, you know, browsing the internet? How about when I'm reading books, watching movies, listening to songs? Am I glorifying him? When people see me or see you, do they see God? I don't mean the God, you know what I'm saying. Do they get blessed by his presence? Or is it just you, or is it just me? Look at me and glorify me and all the things I can do. What is it? How do I glorify him in everything that I do? And that's a challenge. But it's a great one. Jesus Christ did it. And we're to walk like him. So we certainly have a good example. Let's close in Ephesians chapter 3, please. Ephesians chapter 3. Let God be glorified. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. We'll close with Paul's wonderful prayer here. For this cause, verse 14, I bow my knees unto the Father for our Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say, I bow my knees unto the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. What a beautiful prayer. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, something that God has decided in this administration, that time period, that the approach to him is by way of Jesus Christ. Unto him, God be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Can't say any more than that.